Aladdin and the Wonderful Lamp, adapted by Catherine Follett, illustrated by Maria Voris. Chapter 1. Aladdin was the son of a poor tailor. His father tried to teach him the trade, but the boy was so lazy he refused to do any work. Because Aladdin never lifted a finger, his father worked himself to exhaustion until he died. But even then, Aladdin would not change his lazy ways and played with the naughty boys in the street. His mother spun cotton. When Aladdin was 15, a magician arrived in the kingdom. The magician wandered through the streets, looked for some foolish boy to trick. When he saw Aladdin, he pounced on him immediately. "You there, your face looks familiar. Tell me who your father is." "My father is Mustafa, the tailor, but he's been dead for 2 days." "Oh dear me, it can't be true. I've come all my way to see my brother Mustafa, only to find out he's dead," cried the magician, and hugged Aladdin close and pretended to weep. "And you, fine boy, must be my nephew. You've surely taken over your poor father's tailor shop." "Bah," said Aladdin, "I can't stand working. I prefer to play in the streets with my friends." "What? That's no good for a young boy. Let me make you an offer. If you come with me tomorrow, I'll buy a shop and make you a shopkeeper. That way, you can earn money without doing any labor." Aladdin liked the sound of that and agreed to follow his false uncle the next day. Chapter 2. In the morning, the magician led Aladdin out of the city, across the countryside, into the mountain. And eventually, they came to the ledge of the edge of a cliff. "Uncle, where's my shop? Why are we out here?" Aladdin asked. "Gather some firewood, boy, and you'll be thankful you're here." So Aladdin gathered wood and built a small fire. The magician sprinkled incense over the flame, waved his hands, and murmured mysterious words. Before Aladdin's eyes, the earth opened up, revealing a stone with a brass ring attached to it. "Take hold of the ring and lift the stone," ordered the magician. Aladdin was quite afraid, for he was sure this was no ordinary uncle. He lifted the stone and saw a passageway leading downstairs into darkness. "Now, nephew, you must do exactly as I say. Go down the stairs and into the golden hall, but do not touch the walls. Even brushing your sleeves against the gold will kill you instantly. At the end of the hall, you will come to a fruit orchard with a path leading to a small lamp sitting on a stone. Blow out the flame, empty the oil, and bring the lamp to me. I'll give you my ring, which will keep you from harm as long as you obey me." Aladdin took the ring and went downstairs, careful not to touch the golden walls of the beautiful hall. At the end of the hall, bearing the most colorful, delicious fruit Aladdin had ever seen, he could not resist plucking a bright red apple. As soon as he took it from the tree, the apple changed into a solid ruby. At next, he plucked a bunch of golden grapes, which changed to a cluster of pearls. Aladdin had gathered as much as he could before following the path. He piled the lamp on top of the treasure and returned to the stairs where his uncle waited. "Uncle, my load is heavy. Help me up." "First, give me the lamp," demanded the magician. "I told you, Uncle, my hands are full. I cannot give you anything until you help me." "Foolish boy, give me the lamp or you stay down here forever." The magician threw the lamp's magic would not work if he took it from someone by force. "But Uncle," protested Aladdin. Before he could finish, the magician muttered more magic words and slam, the door flew shut, locking Aladdin inside the cavern. Aladdin called, but his uncle would not answer. Finally, he decided to pray, but he put his hands together. He accidentally rubbed the magician's ring. Instantly, a frightful genie stood before him. "What would you have? I'm the slave of whoever wore the ring." Aladdin was terrified, but he immediately replied, "Bring me home." In no time, he stood at the front door and his worried mother weeping with joy to see him. Aladdin was starving and begged for his mother to sell one of the treasures, the dusty lamp perhaps, for food. His mother began to polish the lamp with an old rag, and another enormous genie appeared. "What would you have? I'm the slave of whoever owns the lamp." His mother was terrified, but Aladdin knew what to do. "Bring us a satisfying feast," he shouted. In an instant, the genie brought dozens of solid silver trays overflowing with food. Butter rolls, delectable pastry, steamed roasts filled on their table. When Aladdin and his mother finished, enough food still remained for many days. They could have lived like this forever if Aladdin had not been on the street when he heard the crier shouting, "Back to your houses! All, shutter your windows! Princess Budur will go to the bath." No one was allowed to see the Sultan's daughter without veil. Aladdin had himself behind the wall of the bathhouse, eager to see the princess' face. When he came her servants. Aladdin was so struck by his beauty, he vowed to marry her. "How have you lost your senses?" cried his mother when he told his plans. "Only my heart," replied Aladdin. "Take this silver tray for our meal and load it with fruit from the cavern. Wrap it carefully with rags and take it to the Sultan to ask for his daughter's hand in marriage." Though she grumbled that a tailor's wife would never be allowed to see this, the Sultan, Aladdin's mother, piled the tray with gleaming jewels wrapped in rags. The Sultan's guards would have thrown her out, but the Sultan was curious as to what was hidden inside the bundle. He ordered Aladdin's mother into his hall. Aladdin's mother bowed low, holding the rag bundle, which was scarcely distinguishable from her clothing. "Sultan, my son begs for your daughter's hand in marriage." The Sultan burst out laughing. "Even if I allowed, my daughter would be insulted to live with someone so poor as your son. But before I toss you out, unwrap the bundle and show me what you brought." Aladdin's mother unwrapped the package, and an enormous jewel glittered in the sunlight hall. The Sultan's jaw fell open as he admired the gold parrot, for he had never seen such treasures. "I'm very impressed. Perhaps your son is worthy after all, but before I can allow my daughter to marry him, he must prove his worth. Tell him he has 7 days to deliver 40 trays of the same gems. Each tray must be solid gold. Each gold tray must be carried by 2 slaves. And each slave must be dressed in the finest, richest clothing." Aladdin's mother went back to her son and told him the Sultan had said. Aladdin laughed, for the power of the lamp could get him anything. Instantly, the genie produced a tray of 80 slaves carrying gold jewels. A crowd gathered to watch them march to the Sultan's palace behind Aladdin's rag mother. "Again, you have impressed me," the Sultan said, "but I must know that he will keep my daughter happy. Tell your son to have a splendid palace ready for her by the end of the week." In a flash, Aladdin ordered the genie to build a magnificent palace in the garden across from the Sultan's window. The genie ran a soft red carpet from the door to Aladdin's palace. Aladdin himself, dressed in the finest silk, rode to the Sultan's door on a horse more beautiful than any of the Sultan's in his stables. And it was so that Aladdin and the princess were married. all the kingdom came to the wedding processions. Musicians led Princess Budur down the carpet toward Aladdin's palace. 400 torches lit the street as bright as day. Inside, Aladdin's palace, they ate a sumptuous feast on soft silver plates. It was the most joyful occasion the kingdom could remember. Aladdin and the deer had happiness for many years. They would have lived like this forever, but Aladdin loved riding among the streets of people, throwing gold to everyone he met. This made him quite famous. Soon the magician heard of this boy and seemed to have riches by as if it was magic. He knew Aladdin had stolen the ring and the lamp to gain his wealth. The magician disguised himself as a peddler with a basket full of shiny lamps and came to the palace door when Aladdin was out. "Who exchanged old lamps for new ones?" he called. Budur peeked out the window. "Won't Aladdin be surprised when he finds a shiny new lamp instead of a dull one he keeps in his chamber?" She took the magic lamp from Aladdin's room and brought it to the peddler. Immediately, the magician rubbed the lamp and summoned the genie. "What will you have? I am the slave of whoever owns the lamp. Take this princess and her palace and servants and send us all to Africa." And the magician cried with a flash, the palace vanished. The sultan looked out of his window and gasped in horror. His daughter's palace has vanished in a snuff of smoke. He ordered Aladdin to be brought before him. The sultan raved, "Whatever sorcery you use to produce your riches has made my daughter disappear. If you cannot bring her in 5 days, I will chop off your head." Aladdin pleaded of his innocence, but the sultan would hear none of it. Sadder than he had been, Aladdin wandered through the city for 3 days. He asked everyone if they have seen his princess. On the fourth day, he decided to pray. He rubbed the magic ring, which he has almost forgotten about. "What would you have? I'm the slave of whoever wears the ring." "Please return my palace," and it was. "Only the genie of the lamp can undo what the genie of the lamp has done," the genie answered. "Then take me to my palace." And before Aladdin could blink, Aladdin stood on the front door of his palace. When he sat in the lonely desert of Africa, he snuck inside and reunited with his princess Budur, and they both shed tears of joy. "I have a plan to get our lamp back," whispered Aladdin. He gave Budur a pouch filled with potion that made its victim sleepy and slow. Then invited the magician to eat with her. Boudir was invited the magician to eat with her. Flattered by her sudden kindness, the magician allowed the princess to pour her drink. She secretly added the powder, and soon the magician was nodding over his soup. "My dear," said Boudir, "doesn't it seem awfully dark in here?" The magician's eyelids were closed halfway, so it did seem dark to him.
"Why, yes, it does," he mumbled.
"Why don't you give me that oil lamp you carry around so it can dine by its flame?" The magician, numbed by the potion, handed her the magic lamp. He summoned the genie immediately. "Take me and Aladdin and my palace back to the Sultan's kingdom and leave this horrid magician in the desert where he'll never find his way out," she ordered. The genie did as she asked. They were all returned to their home, safe and sound. The Sultan was so pleased to see his daughter again. He made Aladdin the hero of his throne. After the Sultan passed on the crown, Aladdin Boudir ruled the kingdom for many happy years. The end.